Hurry into Gateway Buick GMC to experience 16 acres of Buick GMC and pre-owned luxury vehicles. It's the sale of the season with all-time low lease offers and 0% financing on select models. Only Gateway includes, at no extra charge, a lifetime warranty on your vehicle. Ask about select model specials on brand new vehicles. This means thousands off MSRP for you. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Gateway, the right way.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:05 as we welcome you into the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Gateway Buick GMC Studios, along with the appliance discounter phone lines, the Hot Shots email of the day. Jay Randolph Jr., welcome you in. Little Poker, the vacation is coming to an end very shortly. I saw that he played Harbortown Golf Links yesterday. He had, and his lovely bride took a picture there, and Timmy's vacation will be coming to a close. And I believe he'll be back on Wednesday. Is that correct, Sneaky V? All right. In today, back
Sneaky
from
Sneaky Vile. I like
Sneaky.
It.
I like Sneaky Vile. Yeah, he's outdone himself today with the guest list. Yesterday, he pulled off a real coup and was able to get co-host of the program, Jim Hayes, on the show, who is back from his trip to the Diamondbacks, a successful one for the Redbirds, as they should have taken 3 of 3, but they take 2 of 3. Cat, good morning.
Good morning. I gave him a spirit win on that loss.
I understand.
Just for the record, but it's great to be back. Yeah, they showed they can beat a decent team 2 out of 3.
Right.
And they got through it.
Yeah, I saw some posts yesterday, and people, you know, because I am online a majority of the time because of the Candy Crush situation, I see a lot of stuff. And I saw one guy post, they've only won one game. And he was acting like people were going crazy. People are not going crazy. People are thankful that they won 2 out of 3. But nobody's going nuts. Nobody's saying anything other than, let's see. It's still a long way to go. The Central's not good. But I don't hear anybody going, here come the Cardinals, even you.
I mean, yeah, but I think people are a little numb to the different variety of ways that the Cardinals have lost this season.
Yes.
So I think they're kind of happy when you take 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks, and you hope for better days ahead. Whether or not they're coming, we don't know. But, you know, you could go on Twitter and post something about Randall Grichuk and what he's done since he's, whatever it is.
Right.
And it's like, oh, a balloon party. No. Like, you can't say anything positive about the Cardinals.
No.
Or else you're a seller.
You're out of line.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not looking at the, you're not looking at the record. You're not looking about at this. And instead of maybe saying, well, this is a good scenario. They take 2 of 3. Should have taken 3 of 3. They beat a good team. You know, you're looking for any glimmer of hope. We still got a lot of ball left to play. And
they're 3.5 games back.
That's the other side.
Four under .500.
We had 4 guys that had a couple of pops on the golf course yesterday. They came in and sat around, and I was doing a little work, and they start talking about who should go. Matheny or Mo. And I kind of said, well, first of all, you're crazy if you think Mo should go. I mean, that to me is just absurd talk. And I am a huge fan of Mike Matheny, the guy, and have been a pretty big fan of him as a manager because of the success. But clearly, he, to me, is the guy that some of the focus and criticism is on. But in the end, folks, it's the guys that play. It's the guys that put the shoes on and throw the pitches and catch the balls or don't catch them.
Yeah, and I get that people are angry because Cardinal fans are used to having success.
Success.
So, and I think it's natural to look around and say, all right, well, who's responsible? And some of the moves that Mo has made haven't panned out. You know, many of them have. With Mike Matheny, he is the field manager, and they're not playing well on a day-to-day
basis. And some of the blame goes there.
But I don't think either guy, after one season, even if they can't correct the course
right.
and have a bad season. I think based on their track records, I don't think either guy is going right away, unless I'm wrong.
No.
I think they've built up enough equity.
Well, and I think the people that run the organization have the knowledge that these guys have done it before and can do it and don't make just a quick knee-jerk reaction. Designer Heating and Cooling is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience, that's you, to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirServices.com is where you can find them on the web. DesignAir is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It is hard to stop a train, and they are the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour, which will include at 7:30 the DB Sports Bar exit poll.
Which I call the official crutch of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We only break out the exit poll when Timmy's away.
Right.
Because
it's hard to do the show without him.
And it's hard to stop a train.
It is hard to stop a train, and it's hard to stop Sea Monster because he was able to get Ricky Horton on the show today. He's got Ricky Horton.
Just, you know, and that's not easy. Ricky was like, okay.
Well, especially this station.
who's going to be on with you? I was like, Ricky, we're going to talk a little Cardinal baseball. That's all. We're going to talk a little Cardinal
baseball. That is a big pickup when you think about it because there was a time.
I think Ricky Horton's great.
He's an interesting cat. There's no doubt about it.
No, he is a good, solid
senior
person.
Loves him.
I love him, too. And working with him, I always say he's the glue of Fox Sports Midwest because he's like a rational, normal guy in the middle of all these nuts.
And he's, frankly, in a interesting situation where he's having to switch venues. I mean, he's going radio, TV. That's not always necessarily the easiest thing in the world to do.
No, but he enjoys doing both, but the way I sense from him, when he does radio, it's a lot more relaxed because you just plop down and call the game, where TV, there's pre-production and things like, you got to wear a suit.
Got to hit the sponsor right, and all that stuff.
Suit in Arizona, even if it's 105 degrees at night.
They still make them do it?
Well, retractable roof, so of course it must be cool inside. Even though yesterday during the game, It had to be 90 inside, even with the roof closed.
Even with the roof closed.
And you would think it's going to be a little cooler because of all the fans in the seats, but it really wasn't.
So Ricky Horton joins us at 8:30. Iggy's Drops of the Week, presented by the Post, will be on the program. We'll also have the Bertarelli Cuts of the Week. And then he's done it. 9:15. He got him. Lousy. Ben Lindbergh's on the show. He's a baseball writer and a podcaster from that ever popular website ringer.com, but actually it's a timely story. Unfortunately, Doug is not here. He's in the Hamptons this weekend for the 4th. This guy's written an article about the baseball, and of course Doug has talked at length about the baseball being wound too tight and all this other stuff, so we'll get a little bit of an explanation from Ben Lindbergh. Then it's the email of the day, and it's a big one today. This is why the guys play. This is why they get up early in the morning or go to bed early in the morning. Because Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech must win to force a tiebreaker cap with Stephen Wildwood. Or Stephen Wildwood is the winner.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was exciting.
Well, it's huge. I mean, I appreciate the fact that I get to be on the program today.
I feel like the Cardinal game that I'll be covering
that's
shortly.
Just minor.
Yeah, it takes a back seat to this.
Absolutely. So that's what we've got for you.
You ever seen me wear these specs before?
I have not.
See, when my eyes get tired and I know I'm going to have to read
spots. When did you go to those? A couple years ago?
I got them like 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Maybe even more. And maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. But they look good on you. They don't look like an old man trying to read.
But I always feel like if you start wearing glasses, then your eyes are going to get worse because they get used to the glasses, and then people always have to upgrade their glasses.
Yep.
And I've been told that that's a wives' tale. So I almost never read them. But when I don't get enough sleep, and let's be honest, this is not the most well-lit studio in the world.
Well, the new one will be.
Yeah, when we get in there.
Right.
So I have to put them on to read copy, otherwise I mangle it. I'm probably going to mangle it anyway.
Well, you've got a lot of lives, so do you want to do one now with your glasses?
Well, you were just talking about the folks at Design Air Heating and Cooling.
Yes.
They've been serving the St. Louis area since 1904, the number one train dealer in Missouri. And Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owner-operators and really care about their customers. And I know this because he's been to my house.
Mr. G.
I had a little issue with the zone cooling.
Right.
And he came out with a technician. They were like, okay, we need to do this, this over here. Boom, fixed. I know he's been to Tim McKernan's house. I've never been to Doug Vaughn's house.
No, but nobody
Seth
has.
Seth Goldkamp has.
Wow.
And he went there and took care of Doug's situation. So we know personally that Design Air Heating and Cooling will get the job done. The number 314-739-1600 or visit designairservice.com. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train.
Since I knew it was just going to be you and I and not a third horse.
An intimate show.
Not that they're angry. Say hello. Say good morning this morning. Kenny Strode.
Morning.
Could you say it with a little more meaning or
morning,
feeling?
Boys.
Thank you.
What's going on? Cat, welcome back.
Thank you. I thought Iggy was sideways because I forget what we got. We got sideways. Oh, I said we probably won't see Rosenthal today because he had pitched a couple of days, and Iggy held me accountable.
Yes, he did.
And I think we got a little sideways. Well, we're good, though, right?
That's partly good. Because some of the texters hold Iggy accountable, as you well know.
Never mind. I got to get my.
Yeah, you got to. You're in charge of the text.
Well, you should know by now, Kat. I can never be mad at you. You're my guy.
So you can obviously text into the program, and we will get to a lot of those. But since it was just going to be the two of us, you know, my friend Kenny, I've known him since 1992, and he has seen a lot of things in this industry. And he is going to be writing a book about the sports radio industry. So I thought with just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
We can
make it if we try. Just the two.
So what I thought we would do each hour of the program is get just a little taste of one of the chapters from Iggy's book.
And oh, I like it.
Yeah, and we were going to do it yesterday. I said, let's wait for the cat because the cat might appreciate it a little bit
I've
more.
I've seen a lot of things.
Yes, you have.
I'm like that guy in the insurance commercial. We know a lot because we've seen a lot.
Seen a lot. And Iggy and I have seen a lot. I can only imagine. I mean, some of the stuff I would think even Iggy may not want to print, but you never know. It's going to be a tell-all, you know, a tell-all book.
It's going to blow the lid off the place.
It sure is. We'll talk a little Cardinals in a little bit with Kat. The Redbirds winners yesterday 10-4 over the Diamondbacks. Take 2-3. Grichik with the 5 RBIs. And we'll talk about the upcoming series. But I wanted to start it off this morning. Iggy, you've talked about doing a book. I know you continue to put together some of the book. Where are we at book-wise?
It's all over the place. I mean, there's chapters that are mostly done. There's chapters that are just starting.
Right.
There's chapters that haven't started yet. I mean, I know in my mind what direction I'm going at.
Are you going chronologically in the book, do you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll go from...
When I wrote late on the bulletin board.
Well, I was going to call that the first chapter.
All right.
Early years, late, but then I decided to go with how's it going
Yes.
Early years. So, yeah, I mean, but I have, I took a couple of weeks when I knew I wanted to do this, and I just started jotting down things.
Stuff.
And then as time went on, I remembered other things and put them in a folder on my computer, and then when I start going to a chapter I think I'm going to start writing, I'll go and I'll look at all the notes, and then other things will pop into my mind. Oh, I forgot about that. So, you know, it's all kind of there.
Right.
It's just when I want to get out of this business and sit down and start writing. Joe Holloman said he would write it for me, so I may use Joe Holloman because I'm not a very good writer.
But Joe's a good guy. There's no question about that. So I ask you to pick three chapters or three instances for each of the 3 hours of the program. What do you got first?
Well, I thought the most formative years in radio were from like 98 to... For me, 2001, till I was fired and had to go to Springfield. But that chapter is going to be called Hold My Watch.
Hold My Watch.
The Marisek years.
The Marisek years, Kat. Do you want to explain Hold My Watch? Yeah, I think you need to explain hold my watch after you have said hold my watch.
Well,
and I don't think Sea Monster or Plowsy or even Cat knows about hold my watch.
No, I've heard this.
You've heard hold my watch?
I've heard this told by other people.
I bet you
so
have.
It'll be interesting getting a different perspective. Well,
this will be like a 3-year period that I was there, but they were very big years as far as things happening.
Yes.
And Klaibs plays a big role in the 98 to 2001 chapter.
As in the Hold My Watch story.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's very simple. I think there was a caller, and there's things that I won't remember.
Yeah.
That I know that the gist of it, I was there, but I will call other people to make sure, okay, do I got this right? I don't want to miss anything or, you know, throw out something that I get sued about. But there was a caller who called out Klaibs on the air and started going off on him, and Klaibs said,
"For folks that don't know, Klaibs is Mike Claiborne."
Mike Claiborne, okay.
Cardinal broadcaster.
And if I remember correctly, because I was sitting there, Klaibs said, "Well, I get off at 6. I'd be outside." And the guy showed up, and he was like 6'4", 290, just huge. But as Klaibs got off the air, he said, "All right, I'm going out there, fish. Hold my watch.
Hold my watch."
He's going to take off his watch and go out there, and he got out there.
Didn't
and
want to mess up the timepiece.
Saw how big this dude was and came right back in and said, "I think I'll go out the back."
The Klaibs is no dummy.
No. So there's quite a few Klaibs stories in there. Story will be in there about the time I got suspended for getting Bobby Orr on the air.
I don't remember that.
We did a segment with Frank Cusimano. I was producing Frank's show. We did a segment called Where Are They Now?
Yep.
We started this before SI started doing it, so they stole it from us.
Sure.
They were monitoring the radio
very closely.
They were,
ideas,
probably.
Yeah.
Hey, do you hear this thing in 590? They're doing Where Are We Now? Let's start it. But it was like, Where Are They Now? / Greats of the Game. And we just pick a different sport each week, and we get one of the best in the business from that sport.
The first one was Uwe Blopp.
No, he was third. Third. But we did hockey. I said, "Well, I'll call Bobby Orr." I had a number for his office and home, so... got him lined up.
Right.
Put him on the air. And he's not on the air 10 seconds. The hotline rings. It's Klaibs. "What are you doing with Bobby Orr on the air?" "Well, it's our Greats of the Game segment, and we're talking hockey, so I figured Bobby Orr would be a great guest. Tony Huber been working on that for a year for me." I said, "What's the statute of limitations on getting a guest? Because it took me one phone call." "Get in my office." I said, "Well, you're not here." "You want me to go in there now and wait for you? Because it is..."
Probably.
"You know, it is 11 o'clock and you are the program director, but you're not here."
Wow.
So,
killing Klaibs.
Well, but Klaibs,
I love, by
but
the
Klaibs,
way.
Everybody loves Klaibs.
Knows I love him. Right. And he has no problem with these stories. They happened.
Klaibs and Iggy have a unique relationship.
Yes, we did. After he fired me, he said, "The best thing I could have done for you." Really? And it was a funny thing, too, is because I bought the Beetle and I went to him and I said, "Now, I'm buying this car. Am I safe here? Because it's going to cost me quite a bit of money." He goes, "You ain't going nowhere." Like 2 weeks after I bought the car, I was fired. He comes in and he just...
Not happy with the Bobby Orr.
In my office. I said, "Are you actually mad because I got one of the greatest hockey players ever on our station? We've been working on him for our show." I said, "But it took me one phone call. Nothing against Puddin', but how long does it take him to get a guest?" So he said, "You're suspended." I just walked out, walked in.
Suspended for getting Bobby Orr.
I walked into Greg's office and I said, "Greg, Mike Claiborne just suspended me for getting one of the biggest names in hockey on the air. I'll be at my pool if you need me." I'm late at the pool, and 4 days later, Greg called me and said, "You're back." So I got a 4-day vacation for getting Bobby Orr on the air. Those are just some of the stories
you
you'll see in that chat.
Not to get Bobby Orr?
No.
Was there any red flag you just...
No. Mike and Tony had been working on getting Bobby Orr. Ig just got him, and that was...
But Iggy didn't know.
Iggy can't do anything about it, but it infuriated Mike enough to...
And you were at the station?
Probably at the station, because I was there from 90... Well, not 92. 93 is when we went to 590.
Bob Birch.
Yep.
There'll be chapters on the Birch.
I would imagine there would be. And then... I was on 590 until I left for the tour in 2006.
Yeah, PGA.
Yeah. So, or into 2005. So, I've seen a lot of things that Iggy's seen. Iggy has a different perspective on some of those things than I do.
I want to know, have you put pen to paper at all? Have you written any of this?
Or is it all in your mind?
Yeah.
No, a few chapters, but not pen to paper. They're in my computer where I'll sit down and I'll write.
For an old guy, you know.
Then I'll save it and into the Thank You, Iggy, I Love You folder. That's the name of the book. Thank You, Iggy, I Love You.
Well, we will have.
I'll get a foreword by Johnny Weir.
As we would hope, and maybe the audio version by Lady Gaga.
Well, we'll see.
She could read the
audio.
Maybe
by then I will have sat down and done a one-on-one with her, and that can be in the book. But
Posse, you do understand that you work alongside a man that's been in this industry since almost day one.
Yeah, and I think, and luckily,
he likes you.
If I don't make the book, at least I know I'm going to be around a couple of these stories that have happened, definitely on The Man and the Woman. So I'm interested to read it because I'm not a St. Louisan, so
sure.
I kind of know Claves and the guys piece by piece.
Right.
I don't know them from radio, so it'd be nice just to get a nice little book.
I'll let people know, too, that I love Mike Claiborne.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's fantastic.
These are stories from 1998. Claves, whenever he sees me at the ballpark, it's the same thing. Must be giveaway night.
Is he wrong?
I don't know what that reference is about. I really have no idea.
Well, you mentioned it yesterday. You know what it's about.
Okay. I hope there's a chapter in there called ... We'll call it the Giving Back to the Community Charity Show.
Well, I'll tease you right now what the name of that chapter is.
Yes?
The Man, the Woman, the Moron.
And we'll talk about that in our next hour. That's a tease in the radio business. Let's talk a little Cardinals. We did off the bat with their win to take 2 of 3. Against the Diamondbacks. Kat, you're with them almost every day, and I'm curious the mindset or the feeling of the team, because you can get a sense of how guys' attitudes are as a whole or as a group. I mean, were they, again, not going crazy, but was there a little, you know, a little upbeat on the flight?
Yeah, not. I mean, it's tough to tell from flight to flight. I'll say this. The Cardinals, especially the guys who have been around, they are frustrated. They're frustrated with, I think, an element of we don't know what to do.
Right.
Because, I mean, you look at that loss the other day.
Yep.
Where they played one of their best games, actually had nice base running, good defense, and it all set up where they had their eighth. And
it's all in position.
And it gets away.
Yep.
And that's sort of the pattern of the season. All right, the starting pitching's good. Now the bullpen, which was solid, is gone. Oh, now no one's hitting.
Right.
So I think it takes a toll on the players. But here's the thing. I think people figure, since things aren't going well, no one should laugh. No one should smile. You should never see a player playing a video game on his phone or It doesn't work like
no,
that.
No, you gotta continue to live life.
And they're people.
Yeah.
But I know that there is frustration, and an element of not understanding what the heck is going on. But I do think the fact that there are so many young guys being infused into the thing, I do think that that brings a little energy. Like, who doesn't get a kick out of
a young guy getting their opportunity?
Like Voit, you know, a local kid, or Brebbia, you know, who was playing independent league ball and is suddenly there. I think everyone gets a little lift out of that. Is it enough to make them suddenly catch fire? No. But I tell you what, where they are right now, 3.5 games back, again, a bigger number, 4 under .500. If they can put some together before the All-Star break,
right,
to me, then maybe you start fresh and see what you have in the set. Because to me, and we've had this argument before, If I'm in charge of the Cardinals, which I'm not, or any, it could be the Blues. If you have a shot at getting through that window of opportunity,
right,
you take it. If you don't think you can get through, then you start selling and changing everything. But you try to make the most of it, because I hear people say, "Well, the Cardinals know even if they got in, they don't have a roster to make a long run."
No, not anymore. It's you just cash your ticket and go.
Yeah.
I mean, anything can happen in the playoffs. And I know that's an adage and an old statement, but it doesn't matter. It's been proven. You just need to punch your ticket to get there. The question for you that I wonder about, let's say they do get it right around 500 or a game back in a division that's clearly winnable.
Right.
Because nobody's established themselves as anything other than mediocre. Do they have that much to deal? I mean, do they have the the pieces to trade to get something without costing themselves for them for the future.
Well, I think at some point you have to make that decision. Can we trade a piece that we believe is a big part of our future to try to climb through that window of opportunity?
And what is it, do you think, that most sets you on the right course? Is it a bat?
Yes.
It's a bat.
To me, middle of the order bat. And we're seeing an uptick in the offense, so maybe they see it differently. I think we're starting to see a bunch of guys come together. We've also seen, like, Fowler gets hot, then he's out with injury. Wong got hot, then he's out with injury again.
Right.
But I think they need a middle of the order bat. I don't know who that would be. I don't even know where. I'm just saying that's what I think. Because I think their starting rotation will be fine. And you do have pieces in the minors that you can plug in if you need to. I also think, you know, I know that there's questions about, oh, right now.
Right.
We saw Rosenthal battle, you know, to get through it the other day. And I get all that. I think they have enough pieces in the bullpen.
You do.
To be okay. If they added another piece, that would be better.
Okay.
But on my priority list, I would like to see a legitimate middle-of-the-order bat. I think that would take a lot of pressure off everybody.
Should we expect kind of the same from Wainwright as we've had from the start of the season? Just kind of maybe three or four really good starts and a couple of really bad starts? Instead of the consistency maybe that we once knew, is that where he's at?
You know, I have no idea because it's been dramatic, the ups and downs.
Yeah.
He went through that four-game stretch where his ERA was something like 0.34.
It was crazy.
He was unhittable.
Right.
Then he had backslide. He said something after his last start, which was very good, had his fastball back. I mean, I think it was 94, 95.
Yeah.
And he was spotting it. And that makes everything easier for him because then, you know, if they're looking for the fastball and
he throws
from Uncle Charlie, they don't have a chance. But he said, you know, that Baltimore start where he lasted
an inning
into his shortest start ever.
Ever. Worst start ever.
Just terrible. Said, well, I needed it. But here's the thing. And with all due respect to Adam Wainwright, who has done great things and is a wonderful guy and is as candid as he can possibly be, maybe too much so,
yeah,
with the media, we've heard, you know, him say, I got it figured out. I know. And then he didn't. We've seen this before.
Right.
So I don't know. You know, he knows his stuff better than me. So
yeah.
You try to take it at face value. He has said that before. So I don't know. I do know this. If he's got the same curveball where we saw him changing speeds with the curveball, we see the fastball, he has the tools.
Clearly.
To be Wainwright in most of his starts going forward. So, you know, if you're a hopeful sort, then you go, okay, I think that can happen.
Design Air Heating and Cooling is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. They are the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest, and you know it's hard to stop a train.
And, you know, when the Cardinals return home, there's always fireworks. And fireworks are already flying off the shelves at
Captain
Jim's.
Yep.
Four semi-trailers of product just arrived, making selection, prices, and finding that unique firework that fits any budget easier than ever. This year marks Captain Jim's 70th anniversary as the St. Louis area's go-to family-owned store. We are celebrating by offering huge deals, new product, and 70 items hand-selected and drastically discounted by Captain Jim himself. Here's the thing that got me, okay? Captain Jim's is also North St. Louis's exclusive dealer of time-banded fireworks from the show Deadliest Catch.
I love that program.
I'm a big fan. And, you know, they.
I know when they do it on the last throw.
And you think, okay, you got a lot of wood on the ship. You're going to burn that thing down. And they never do because Captain Jim supplies them the proper fireworks. They also carry all of the best brands like Brothers, Showtime, World Class, Sky Bacon, and more. That's Captain Jim's. That's your place for fireworks.
Hey, Iggy was called Sky Bacon the other day by one of the texters. Somebody referenced him as Sky Bacon.
Yeah, I think there was a bacon face in there or something like that. I don't know.
You could text in, obviously. What is the text line? I don't even know. I just use my app on my phone
to
text.
Same as the phone number.
And what is that?
855-CUP-TALK. 282-8255.
So you can fire away on the text lines, but right now it is time for the DB Sports Bar exit poll.
The Exit Poll is powered by DB Sports Bar and Soulard.
This is a great question.
Oh, interesting question.
I didn't care for the question.
I don't know. This is a hard question.
That's the stupidest question ever, Doug. Just shut up for this segment.
DB's has awesome food and drinks served by the finest ladies in St. Louis.
All right, here we go. Now, who's going to read? Plowsy, are you going to read? Angry going to read? How are we going to do this? I know Sneaky Vowel.
Plowsy is in charge of the questions.
Sneaky Vowel's afraid of the mic.
This is all Sea Monster today. Unless Plowsy threw a few in there, Sea Monster came up with so many good questions.
Well, then
questions.
You guys can
That's
answer
what
as well.
I told Seymour he did a phenomenal job on this.
That's about
pool.
Time. Yep.
By the way, Plowsy's in his new place now.
I know.
He's yes.
All squared
he
away. Got moved out.
I'm happy for you.
Thank
sir.
You. It's amazing. I
wish he'd
place.
Have stayed in Baldwin, but I'm happy that
you
he's.
You know, I need it back to this. I need
I
it back to the city.
I know. You
it's
can't
where
hang
I belong.
West Coast
I love
people.
It. And you know yeah, what? I couldn't.
I don't mean to brag for you, but he has a balcony.
He's what?
A balcony.
I mean, I needed enough room, you know, to entertain. You know, I wanted that open concept.
You know, you haven't met his new friend.
Well, I know he had a older new friend who I'd met. Is it the
no,
same
you
new
say,
friend?
No, same one. Yeah, you
all
met
right.
her. Yeah,
oh, he did meet her. All right. Okay, good. I liked her.
That's hot takes.
Yes. All
just
right.
Don't,
so
just
let's,
don't post a bunch of pictures of your patio, else you get trashed.
Yeah, it won't be as luxurious as yours.
Well,
I might
you
have
do
some
a
cool
nice
toys.
Job with the gardening eggs. You, I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I think I post too many pictures of that and people...
They're jealous?
I guess. The sunflowers are really flourishing.
Good for you, Iggy.
Yeah.
And he sits out there and he has a couple of glasses of wine.
Right. Maybe relaxes. Sunday, the Jamaican coffee.
You know, it is funny when someone has something that they enjoy. Yeah. Iggy enjoys his patio and relaxing with wine. It makes other people mad for some reason.
I don't understand why the bitterness. If we'd all be a lot better if we just said, look at Iggy's... Wonderful spot. Good for him.
And, oh, and not to get us off track, because that's not something
not part of the
do.
Show. No.
But I enjoy the search for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Finding Bigfoot's one of my favorite shows.
Do you think it'll happen?
Any day now.
Right.
But apparently Rob Lowe, who I thought we were Twitter buddies.
You and Rob?
Yeah. I actually talked to him a couple of times when the Cardinals are in L.A.
Yep.
And we talked about the Rams, and you know, I said we got to talk more on Twitter, meaning I would like to enhance my follower.
Right.
He understood this, I'm sure. But anyway, he apparently has a new reality show that I guess there were articles written about it 2 weeks ago that I missed.
Rob Lowe has a reality show.
Yeah, with his sons, and apparently they go out on adventures. I don't know where the show airs or what it's about, except it's a reality show with his kids.
This is real.
Yes.
Okay.
And apparently they were in Missouri, I didn't even know, looking for Bigfoot.
They were here looking for Bigfoot.
And they encountered Bigfoot, and Rob thought, he really thought that Bigfoot was going to kill him. Well, someone sends me this link on Twitter, and I don't realize that it's, you know, a month old or 2 weeks old. So I start calling out on Twitter to Rob Lowe. Hey, is this true? I need Twitter verification that you encountered Bigfoot. And I reached out to him twice on Twitter, and I got no Twitter confirmation.
No response from Rob.
So I'm holding him accountable right now. So if other people that are listening, I want to tweet at Rob Lowe and say, all we're asking for is him to verify.
That he saw Bigfoot.
Yeah, because all I saw was like links on Entertainment Tonight.
There's a claim. He claims to have seen Bigfoot, but you have not gotten that confirmed via Twitter.
If I see it, because most things you read on Twitter are true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so if I see him say it happened on Twitter, then I know it actually did. So I'm calling out Rob.
Well, that would be really earth-shattering if Rob found Bigfoot in Missouri while doing his own reality show, The Lowe Files.
Oh, that's what it's called.
They came up with that, the Lowe Files.
Isn't there a certain spot in the U.S. where Bigfoot is supposed to be? Not in the Ozark Mountains.
Well, let me tell you something, sir.
That area is squatchy.
I'm going to hold you, accountable. Because if you ever watch the show Finding Bigfoot, then you know there's areas all over the country that are just squatch laden.
Oh, yeah?
They are just full of Sasquatch. Now, of course, on the show, they never hear it, see tracks, or have any tangible evidence, but they know they're there, and therefore when they leave after finding zero evidence, they declare that area as squatchy. That's what they're
saying. Similar to Jimmy Hoffa's grave and Al Capone's vault.
Yes.
Put Bigfoot in that scene.
And I watched that show.
Except the difference there is there was an actual vault and there was an actual Jimmy Hoffa.
Yes, but neither has been found.
And with Bigfoot.
True, but they.
There was no vault.
Okay, well, then let me go
there
this
way. There was a hole in the wall that they opened up.
Let me go this way. With
millions
you.
Of people.
You will
think there was
you will admit
there.
that there are vaults in the world, correct?
Yes.
And you will admit that Jimmy Hoffa was a living human being.
Yes.
Okay, so this is where it's a slightly different from the Bigfoot
situation.
Well, these
people, but there's certain people believe there's Bigfoot.
I understand
that. There were people that actually believed that when Geraldo Rivera opened that up, there was going to be some Al Capone stuff in there.
I understand that. But if Geraldo would have said, we're going into a cave and we're going to find Bigfoot, that's different than we're going to open a vault, because a vault is a real thing. You would have to believe, and this is no offense to
the cave, was a real thing. There just wasn't a Bigfoot in there.
That's true, but it's the premise that you believe in Bigfoot that I have the trouble with.
Look, I've dated some Bigfoots. But the one you're talking about is not real.
See, right. Here's the thing, Jay. Yeah. In all fairness to the people that believe.
And I have nothing. I mean, I'm just saying I am one of those people, whether it be an alien or a ghost, or even to a certain extent, the big fella. I need a little proof.
Well, here's the thing.
I agree.
You know as well as I do that there are barely any hunters in this country. There are barely, I mean, it's really just a handful of people that go out into the woods
right.
looking to hunt deer or whatever they're hunting for. I mean, it's 5 or 6 people nationwide,
max.
Right?
Right. I don't know how the hunting stores stay open.
And then those
Gander Mountains.
Those people, I mean, what are the chances one of them would have a cell phone or anything to record a picture or video? So you're talking a handful of people that hunt in the wilderness.
So I should understand why he hasn't been seen.
Well, yeah. The same with the
Loch Ness. And he's really smart, too.
The same with the Loch Ness Monster. Here's a novel concept. Drain that thing. If he's in there, drain the thing and see if he's there. And put an end to this.
What about the ecosystem?
It's a tar pit.
Most of the sightings of Bigfoot have been in the Pacific West. Oregon has the most reports in the United States. We're not even in the top 5. Oregon, California, Ohio, Texas, and Florida.
How did he get down to the Ozark Mountains?
I don't know.
Hitchhike, walk, nobody saw him?
Maybe he's hid. Maybe
Rob
he's
Lowe
been
gave
there.
Him a ride?
Low files. The low files. All right, let's do the...
Sorry, I got us off track.
No, I like it because I...
Should I replay the open?
Yeah, hell yes.
No.
Come on.
I'm not going to do that.
Right, it's not the best open I've ever heard.
I guess we could probably count that one as CMAR's number 7. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
He put it on there?
Yeah, so we can kind of
say,
hey,
that's...
Okay,
well, go ahead. Let's just go around the, room.
Hell no.
I'm a no at this point until proven otherwise.
I'm a no because with the abundance of hunters, hikers, outdoorsmen who have cell phones in their pocket, we should have more conclusive evidence.
I would agree with that.
No, and even if you show it to me, I'll say it's fake, so.
But I still watch the show because I'm an idiot.
Well, no, you watch the show because it entertains you.
That's true.
Same with Gold Rush. I mean, we know that's probably not real gold that they're pulling out of there. But
that is a lie, Iggy. That is real gold.
Oh,
I don't know about that.
Let me tell you something. Simply stated.
I love Gold Rush more than anything.
That show is as close to reality as you're going to find
I
in
agree
reality
with that.
Television. Here's the fake part.
What's
gold
the fake part?
Is real.
Yeah.
The problems that they... Here's what they don't tell you. That it's such a big business because it's a popular show that the money they make from television, and especially that Todd guy...
Is more than the gold?
Yes. He's the producer. I mean, it was his concept. He sold it. So that's why people... And this is the problem I have with the show. They're out of money. They're losing. They got to shut it down. All of a sudden, 6 new tractors and 4 big trucks. How did that happen? Oh, because he makes a lot of money off the show.
Now, we referenced the Deadliest Catch in the Captain Jim spot. Though, to me, that's pretty damn real. And that they show the money that those cats make, and they're making... Now, the individuals may not be making more, but whoever owns the boat is making more money from the fishing than they are from the show.
Well, they're catching crabs.
Right.
These
other people are looking for gold.
No, it's an entertainment show.
I love it, too, and I think it's real, but I do think the storyline... Like, here, the same thing with Deadliest Catch is the same thing with Finding Bigfoot or Gold Rush, okay? And I hear this from my wife.
Except they're actually fish in the ocean, and they haven't shown me Bigfoot.
But here, right, well, that's one of the big ones. But there is a certain sameness, okay? They're out to get crab. Let's say it's
Opie season.
Okay, so they're out in Opie season, and they're not catching anything. Storm's coming. Big storm. Perhaps giant ice cubes forming on the side of the ship. It could sink. They might have to turn back or it'll sink.
Right.
Oh, they get through it and they catch crab.
They catch a ton of crab and everybody's happy and they get their...
Same thing every week.
Same thing
with
Gold Rush.
Because I'm an idiot.
We need 22 ounces or else we have to go home.
Question number...
Guys, we've got 23 ounces. No guts, no glory.
You like the show, obviously.
I love the show.
Oh, I watch it.
The saddest part was season one when they brought the families out. That was really a depressing season because you really see the struggle on the family's face and to realize, man, this is going to be rough.
There's gold in them hills.
Well, but here's the thing, too. It's like, oh, we're roughing it out here. And they have these enormous trailers. Like, all of them have brand new...
$250,000 pieces of equipment.
And $70,000 pickup trucks. And
and how do they get all that to Alaska?
They drive it.
All of it?
Yeah.
They all have trailers. They all have trucks. They all have tractors. It all seemed to get down there at the same time somehow.
All right, Plowsy, that was question seven. Now bring us question one.
We'll come back to what's your favorite supermarket snack cake? One of my favorite ones. So I have a lot.
I got, but before we do this, Iggy, Drain Loch Ness, it's a 25-mile-long body of water, nearly 1,000 feet deep. It isn't a tar pit, you leather-faced liar. Sorry, I just had to, that's...
So he's saying it may be tough to drain.
Okay. Well, I'm not up on my how many gallons and how many miles wide it is, so I just...
You just would like him to drain it.
Well, you can still drain it. It's going to flood a lot of places, but you can still drain it.
It's going to be costly.
Yeah, what the hell? You'll get down to the bottom of the Loch Ness Monster, at least.
I have an answer to that because I like Little Debbie's cakes. That's my snack cake of choice. They have these little, they're like yodels, they're like ho-hos, but I think they're called Swiss rolls.
Yes,
yep.
That's number one on my list. And number two, I'm a big fan of the Chocodile. Which is a...
You don't see as much anymore.
No, and if you do, they're usually... They've been on this shelf. Little convenience store, like in the middle of nowhere, and they're 17 years old. But it's a Twinkie.
We can remember when Chocodiles came out.
Yeah, yeah.
But like Twinkies, they never go bad.
Right.
You can eat those things forever.
They have the same half-life as uranium. I don't know what that means, but I think it's funny.
All right, snack cake-wise... Would a Rice Krispie consider that?
Oh, absolutely. That's a little snack.
Lately, I've gotten back on the Rice Krispie, and I don't know why.
Like Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Because it's a light snack. It's not terrible for you. Not a ton of calories in
there. Well, when you buy the thing with the three, it's...
You're probably not supposed to eat the triple.
No, maybe you're supposed to space those out maybe from each week to week. So I'm, you know, it's kind of a vanilla play, but I'm going Rice Krispie treat.
I like the streusel coffee cake.
Nothing wrong with that.
Those are insane good. The pumpkin spice when they come, you know, the
say that again because you sound really twinkish. Say that again.
The pumpkin spice, you know, the one that look like a jack-o'-lantern that are filled with like pumpkin seasoning. Those are bomb. And Twinkies are obviously the go-to for me. So those three.
Entenmann's donuts.
Yeah.
The chocolate ones.
Chocolate with the
yellow cake.
Let me ask you.
Those are just.
You have to eat them almost all at once because once you open them and then close them back up, they get stale in like
a day.
But
they are unbelievable.
I'm
going to
ask you
play.
A personal question.
And dunk them in milk.
That
I knew what you were going to ask me.
It softens them up. I like that.
Because here's the thing. If you break it in half.
Yeah.
And then so you have that little semicircle.
Right.
And then you kind of you kind of
use
that
it to
in
cup
the,
it.
And you cup it.
Yep.
And then the milk fills the
right
shell.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
nice play, Iggy. That was nice.
Entenmann Donuts, call in.
Yep. Or bring them in.
Yeah, that's what I actually meant.
I understand.
All right, next one. Should men shave their armpits? Again, sneaky vile.
Here's my thought on that. If it's a problem, if it's so much that it's irritable or scares children... Or gals don't really want a part of it, then yes. But I think for the majority of people, my answer would be no.
Yeah, if you're not winning gold medals, Like if
well, I mean, if you're shaving tapering for a swim meet, that's a different situation.
Yeah,
you know,
if you're
I dated a
gymnast
swimmer.
Or a swimmer, then by all means, go for it. I don't know.
Or if you're a workout guy that wants to show your stuff. I mean, but I think the average human being.
There's nothing less masculine to me than a freshly shaved armpit hair. I don't care how big your tries and buys and, you know, you have a six or an eight pack.
But you do have to admit, if you saw one of these Hulks and they were competing at the Joe Weider Invitational.
I guess if they have armpit hair, they're considered
it's
more
gonna
of a
look
bear,
a little yeah. odd where they're all bronzed and gold up and everything's shining and then they go up for the big arms and they got these things hanging down.
Well, I'm on record as saying I'm as smooth as a dolphin. So yes, you should shave your
You arm. Do you shave your armpits?
Yes.
You do? I didn't know
that.
Such
every, a sensitive
at least every
area.
2 weeks. Oof. Not really. You just have a trimmer, and you just, what is it? You get out of the shower, and voom, voom, they're gone.
You shave your armpits.
Sure. Right. Why do you want that in there, especially in the summer? You're putting deodorant on, you're outside, and your hair's stuck.
I'm lucky I'm not too hairy a fella, so I don't worry too much about it.
This I actually did not know of Iggy, so
I'm a little uncomfortable with this.
I'm not uncomfortable with it at all.
You don't use a razor, at least.
No, I use an electric
razor.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. That would hurt, oh, man.
No, an electric
hurt.
Razor. Right. Well, it takes like 2 seconds. Why would you want all that hair there? I don't want anybody with one hair on your body if you don't need to.
Cat. Well, that's a shot at me because I am like a Yeti.
You've got the hair.
And I wouldn't say I have an abundance of underarm hair, but, you know, I look at myself when I get out of the shower and it's like, what the heck am I going to start with this? Just let it go.
Just go.
Best thing to do is cover it with a shirt.
It takes 2 seconds. A couple of swipes with the electric razor, the trimmer, and.
Give when that, you give that text line again, because I think there might be some response to your shaving of the arms.
And you put the deodorant on, it's nice and cool.
What's the text line, Iggs?
855-282-8255.
And if you want to chime in on any of these questions, do you shave
okay, this is
your armpits?
This from Butch Patrick's werewolf doll. Iggy shaves himself clean so he can wear his victim's skin. That's text of the day. I'm sorry, that's text of the day.
We have a winner. It has been Patrick's
werewolf.
Well, can I not wear skin over hair? It's a difference.
Now, that text of the day gets a complimentary cheesesteak at the Post. And when you're at the Post, Plowsy, what should you do?
Stay posted, my friends, and order that damn cheesesteak.
Yeah, and maybe before you go, shave the pits.
Yeah, that's optional, I think, at the Post.
Takes a few minutes. Girls do it. Why can't guys do it?
I don't know if we're done, but I
no,
did. You love the golf.
I do. I play golf.
Thank you for bringing me the...
Got you the new Normandy lid.
I love it.
Yep.
I just felt it was something urgent that...
We've got some matches today.
What's that?
We've got some matches in the Fan Pin Club Championship
really?
Today. Yep.
Yeah, I got a text at like 11:30 last night. Sorry, Callahan. I go to bed early.
Todd's playing today.
Yes. He wanted me to let everybody know that... please plug our 3:30 match today. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, he has Injun Joe on his... bag.
Right.
He has Timmy Dix on his bag.
Who?
I don't know.
Timmy Dix. Timmy, D-I-X?
D-I-X. Timmy Dix is on Callahan's bag. So Callahan and Matt, who bowls at Hanks, 3:30 today at the Rocks.
God, could you imagine like the...
wonder what Mrs. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, is going to do.
Dix and getting out his balls.
I'm sorry, what?
You don't need to say that.
Just yeah, let's, well, you know what I should do is just jump in here with this
tell
read.
Somebody. Yeah.
Second annual GFI Digital Free Dotem Open at Tapawingo on 7/7, presented by Michelob Ultra, Bertarelli Cutlery, Marshen. Am I saying that right? Insurance?
Go with it.
Victory Men's Health, Twin Peaks, Monkey Shoulder, 18-8, Fine Men's Salon, Absopure, RT Weilers, and Hot Shots cost $500 per foursome and includes 18 holes of golf, cart, lunch, booze, and awards party at Twin Peaks Maplewood. Portion of the proceeds benefiting Three Little Birds for Life and the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. There are only a few foursomes remaining. Visit InsideSTL.com and click on the Dotem Open link to register your team today. And who knows? You may rub elbows with some of the 590 The Fan personalities, which is a win.
That's a huge win.
You playing, Jay?
No, I am not playing. We have an event.
Okay. That's right. It's not your course. Yeah. I keep forgetting we changed venues. But Tapawingo,
I
like
don't
Tapawingo.
Keep forgetting.
Oh.
Plowsy, what's next?
We can end it with this one. It's a nice one. What's the most famous wedding you've ever attended?
The most famous wedding?
Yeah, if you've had an athlete or you guys have seen, you guys know a lot of people. I didn't know if you attended
well,
any weddings.
I mean, the most famous wedding I've attended. Boy, I'm going to have to think about that.
I went to Tim's.
Yeah, that would be it.
So Tim's.
Dave Green?
No, that wouldn't be it for me. Absolutely.
That's
when
I took Kristen Fogel too.
You sure did. I left early because I was upset that somebody wouldn't share something with me. Know what I'm saying, Plazzi?
Yeah. Here's a text. Iggy, I'm shocked you're not lying and making up someone famous that you attended their wedding. Okay, wait a minute. I was lying. That wasn't a text. I just said
Iggy,
it. I blamed it on the text.
I attended Gina Lolo Brigida's wedding. No. I mean, I have
not been to a ton of weddings in my life.
I don't. That's an interesting question. I see why he would ask it, but I don't know that. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I sat with Steve Klein at Tim's. So that's
yeah. Yours is clear. I mean, you got a layup in Tim's. I don't know. I don't like weddings or funerals.
I went to a famous bachelor party, but not a wedding.
What do we got?
I forgot his first name.
He wasn't a friend.
He wasn't a friend. But Ty Babiloni was engaged to him.
Randy.
It was Sean Penn's brother, the one who passed away.
No, I thought it was Ty Babiloni and Randy Gardner. Or were they just partners?
Well, Randy's not dating women.
I understand.
They were partners.
Okay.
But
Sean Penn's brother was a very good actor.
Chris Penn.
He was in a lot of different stuff.
She was engaged to Chris Penn. And
that little thing was engaged to Chris Penn?
Yeah.
Wait, I thought you were dating her.
Well, I was for a period of time, but then we still became and stayed friends over the years.
So when her new love, Chris Penn, wanted to marry her, you were close enough where you went to his bachelor party?
I was invited to his bachelor party.
And where was this at?
Los Angeles.
Did you go?
Yeah. I've been out there a few times with her, just friends, and she introduced me to him, and so I was
invited.
Did
you go out on your own, or does she pay your way? Because no offense.
I got to believe she's paying.
No offense. I mean, AM Sports Talk Radio wasn't really the jet set.
I wasn't in Sports Talk Radio back then, no.
So you paid your own way out.
I was waiting tables.
Was this before this performer being Bermuda or right after?
Before.
Before.
Yeah.
You know, he's not allowed back in Bermuda.
But do you know who his... I may waive that.
Yeah.
Do you know who his featured guest was at his bachelor party?
I'm going to say Lionel Richie.
And I'm going to say... I'm going to say Lionel from the Jeffersons.
She has been on the program before.
She has been on the program before.
Okay, so it's an adult lady.
Yeah. So it's got to be that era. I'll say Ginger Lynn.
Kitten Natividad,
friend of the show.
She was the feature performer.
Friend of the program.
And one of your finest performances ever, where you still had a minor infatuation with these two lovely women well past their prime.
Well past their prime. Even for me. But Seika was a lovely woman.
She was. Yeah, that raspy.
She's a cigar smoker.
Scotch
did you know
cigar
she smoked
voice, yeah.
cigars?
Yeah. Couldn't tell.
Amongst other things. The 8 o'clock hour. Here's what we got coming your way. We've got fun with audio. And that Plowsy's going to have that all locked in for us. We got Ricky Horton, Cardinal radio and TV broadcaster, presented by GFI Digital. We've also got Iggy's Drops of the Week. And Iggy teased for us one of the chapters in his book that is somewhat in recent history in the world of radio / sports radio. Could you remind me of the name of that title, Iggy, that you've come up with that we're going to talk about in the 8 o'clock hour from your book on sports radio?
Which chapter?
The one that you had the three names.
Oh, the man, the woman, the moron?
That was what it was. So
I like it.
We'll discuss the man, the woman, the moron, and more. This 7 o'clock hour has been brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling. They are donating. Very nice of them to do it. 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life, designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It is hard to stop a train. We will take a break. Tim will be back next Wednesday. Everybody in the city can rejoice and have fun as little Poker will be back off his vacation.
Will Doug be back also?
What is Doug's story, Sneaky V? When's Doug returning? Do we know?
Are we all together Wednesday?
Next week? Yep. Wednesday. It's all good in the hood as the boys will be back in town right here on the Mighty 590. Stay with us. The 8 o'clock hour is next. You're on 590 The Fan, KFNS, and KFNS on the inside, STL.com.